you. And you know, if and I, this is not my sermon, but I thought about this as we were a little bit earlier, said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, it is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, I don't know where you are here this morning, but I can tell you this. God is still in the saving business, as I say all the time. And you know, no matter where you're at today, you know, I don't know how young you are. I don't know how old you are. I don't know if you're a young married couple. I don't know if you're an old grandma and grandpa. I don't know where you're at. And the title of my sermon this morning says this. It says, let's finish this thing. Let's finish this thing. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the sanctuary out here. That's not what I'm talking about. We'll get that done as God gives us the grace and the finances to do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and me making it home one of these days. Let us finish this thing. I want us to finish it. You know what? I'm going to go to a lot of Scripture today. And now I want you to go with me, and I want you to bear with me, because we're going to be back in the Old Testament. We're going to be back in 2 Kings, starting out the 21st chapter of 2 Kings. And then after that, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. But let's start out in 2 Kings 21:2. And it said, and this is talking about, let's start with the first one. And it said, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abomination of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, if you would go with me over to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, and we're going to talk about Asa. 14. We're going to do verse 2. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Did you get both those? Did you see what I'm saying? Did you get both of what I said there? We're going to talk about two different individuals here. And one of them, if I just left off right there with just reading that scripture, I'm going to have a word of prayer in a minute. But if I left off with just reading that scripture right there, those scriptures are very telling, are they not? It talks about two different individuals in their lives right there, and how that they started serving God. One was bad and one was good. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart for you today. I want to praise you. I want to give you the glory that you so rightly deserve. I love you, Father. I love you for all that you've done, Lord. I thank you for our church, Lord. I thank you for the people that are sitting here. I thank you for this congregation, Lord. And I pray, Father, I give you the praise for the love that you give for me for them, Lord. And I pray, Father, you know, Lord, that love that I feel back for them also, Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, I ask you, Father, this morning to go to these hearts, go to these people, Lord. And I pray, Father, that the hearts will be open, that the minds and the souls will be receptive of what you have for them to hear this morning. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. All right, here's a story of two leaders, two kings to say. One, and I'm going to get into some stuff here in a little bit, did some pretty deplorable things, as a matter of fact. He did some pretty bad things, and the other one did things the right way. He did things the right way. We're going to look at the lives of both of them. And you know what? At the beginning, and we're going to look at the end of their lives, both of them. We're going to look at both their lives. Both of them reigned. First off, both of them reigned in an extremely long period of time. We're used to in this country here where if we got a leader, whether it's bad or whether we think it's good, 4 years, maybe 8 years at the most, we have to deal with them. Asa reigned 41 years, and Manasseh reigned 55 years. That's how that they did it. Both men ruled over the northern kingdom of Judah. Both of them were kings over that bunch. Now, I'm going to start in with Manasseh. I want to get into his life right here. Then we're going to go over to Asa. First off, he totally rejected God and the teachings of God and his father, Hezekiah. We all knew who Hezekiah was, right? We knew who King Hezekiah was. Hezekiah was a good king. Hezekiah did things right. And he was the father of Manasseh. He was the father of this evil king. First off, what he did, if you read down, we're going to go down into verse 21 here, Kings. I'm going to read it a little bit. And it said, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places, which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, the king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. It goes on to say, he built an altar in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said in Jerusalem, I will put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons, get this, pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of the Lord and said to David, which God said, did you see what he did here? Do you see what this king right here did? You know, he rebuilt the high places, which Hezekiah had tore down. He rebuilt those places where the people could go and worship. You know what? The false gods of Asherah, Baal, Molech, and Chemosh, that's who he worshiped. He built these high places again. Here this boy was, whose father who was a godly king, and who probably raised him in the house of God. He had turned his back totally on God, and this is what he did. And one of the things I found quite disturbing as I was studying for this, it said he specifically built to Baal. You know what Baal worship consisted of? Did any of you ever have studied what it meant to worship Baal? What these did, these adults would come in before this statue of Baal. They'd bring in their children, like this young one right here, and they would put them up on the altar and they would sacrifice them. That's what they would do. And while they were doing this, the adults would practice an all sexual kind of immorality while they were doing this. This is what they did when they worshiped. And so we see this is going on here. And you know what? And why did they do this? They did this so that they could, what they were wanting, they were praying for rain, believe it or not. This is what they did. And this is what this king Manasseh did to get to the point where he was at and what he did to the kingdom of Judah. He said he worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. What did he mean by that? He studied astrology. That's what he did. He studied astrology. And he would not do anything. Would not do anything without checking with the stars first. And he worshipped him. And he first said, then he took idols one step further, as I read to you. He built altars of these heathen gods, and he did it in the house of God. I'm getting to a point, not just a history lesson here. I want to get to a point with all this here in just a little bit. And he set caved images of the idols, and he made them, and he put them in the house of God. That would be no different than taking and bringing Baal and burning them right here in this church, and having you people come in here and look at it when we try to worship the true God. And again, it talks about him who made his children pass through the fire. He made his own children pass through the fire. And this is not a Baal. This is from the God Moloch. And what he would do, he would heat up. And Moloch had his arms stretched out like this. And what he would do, the heat was so intense that he caused his children to pass through it. And thus doing, he said, he would give them to this deity for eternity, what he would do. This. Now you think about all this stuff. But this is what this king Manasseh did. This is what he did. And it was Manasseh more than anyone else that brought destruction to the kingdom of Judah. And you know what else? And he had a godly father, as I said. He had a godly father. He reigned over Judah for 55 years. Now I want you to hold on to that thought for a little bit, because I'm going to get back to him in a little bit. Now if you would turn over with me to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, the 2nd verse. And we're going to talk about Asa. And it said this, over here, that he did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So we see, as soon as he come into being a king, the first thing he did, he removed all the idols. He removed all the sites. He broke down all the groves. He removed them. In 2 Chronicles, it says in 14, 3 through 5, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and he broke down the images and cut down the groves. And he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their father and to do the law and the commandments. And he took away all of the cities of Judah, the high places and the images and the kingdoms, and it was quiet before him. You know what verse 16 of 2 Chronicles tells us too? 15? He said that he even removed his mother from being queen. Did you get that? His own mother was trying to worship these idols and stuff. He took her out of being a queen. This is how strong and how dedicated he was to remove idol worship from the land of Judah. You know what? He wasn't messing around with it whatsoever. Whatsoever. And God blessed him for this. God blessed him for it. He gave him 10 years. It says the land was quiet for 10 years. He blessed Judah with peace for the first 10 years of his reign. And you know what he did with that? He commanded the people to follow God. Not only did Asa bring about a spiritual revival, not only did he bring about a spiritual revival, but he said he also did it. But he said, let us build the cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. During his reign, he took advantage of the peace that God had given him. He strengthened his military. This is a good guy. This is a good godly man, right? And Asa had his armies of men that bore targets and spears, and Judah, 3,000 out of Benjamin, and bore shields and drew bows, 280,000, and all the mighty men of valor. Listen to me. He did not have any trouble in that land in Judah for 10 years. And then there did come trouble. But what's he do? He goes out and he prays. It tells us. He goes out and he prays. And guess what? The army that come against him was from Ethiopia, had over 1 million men of army come against him. He went out and he prayed, and guess what? God delivered them to the hands of Asa. Delivered them. Exactly what he did. Again, I've got a point to this whole thing. If you just bear with me on this, I'm going all over the place, but believe you me, I've got a point. Asa did the right thing. He called out to God. Let's look at his prayer. The model prayer that he prayed was this. He said it contained praise. Let's just read it here if we can find it here. Let me go back and I'll find it. I'll read it to you in verse 11. And it tells us here in 14:11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we against the multitude, O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against us. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And guess what? Whenever they fled, Asa followed them and got all their spoils and brought them back. That's how God blessed him. The Lord responded to his prayers. And then listen, and then in 2 Chronicles 15, and he was returning from battle. It said Asa was... Azariah, the prophet, meets Asa, and he speaks the word of prophecy to Asa and encourages him. To the content of his prophecy, I believe that the words still hold true today. But you know what he did with him? When he come back and he prophesied to him, he told him, he said, listen, he said, God is with you, you walk with him. He said, if you forsake God, he will forsake you. Times have been hard for God's people. He said, God would reward Asa's work. And guess how Asa responded? He doubled down. He doubled down and even made the reform more and more and more. And listen to me. Right to this point in time, Asa's doing what God wanted him to do. Before they fell, you know what? Now listen, God's blessing was so clearly on King Asa, and the people even migrated and moved from Israel, tried to come down into the kingdom of Judah. Man, I tell you, this guy had it going on, didn't he not? He had it going on. Praise the Lord. He was right there where he should be. But you know what? What a glorious sight. All these people, all the people of Judah under Asa, you know what? Their presence are noticeable. And you know what? Whenever God's presence is noticeable, I tell you what, praise God for that. Praise the Lord for that. Now I want to end to ask you something right now. If I was to end this story right here, if I was to tell you right now and talk to you about Asa and Manasseh, where's Manasseh out today? I just told you what all he did. Where's Manasseh out today? Where's Asa out today? Man, Asa was right on top of everything, was he not? Surely Manasseh's in the regions of the damned, right? Because of the atrocities that he committed, surely he was. He made his own children walk through the fire, right? He committed atrocities that you and I think are horrible, are they not? That's where, you know, you would think that Asa must be sitting around the throne of God, right? Because he was right there where he should. As Lee Corso would say, you know, anybody in here know who Lee Corso is? Not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. Why am I naming this sermon, Let Us Finish Things? Because this is the point I want to make. Things started going downhill for Asa in chapter 16. Asa demonstrated a lack of trust. He had been following God up to this point. He had been doing the things that he wanted to do. Well, in verse 16, if we go to verse 16 of 2 Chronicles, and it tells us what starts to happen. It said, no matter how much we trust God, I want to say this to you right now, no matter how much you trust God today, there will come another test tomorrow. There may come another test tomorrow, and I want to tell you point blank today, whenever that test comes, I want to tell you that we need to trust God the same tomorrow also. Asa had done such a good job of strengthening Judah, did he not? The people of Israel wanted to go there. Asa, and what had happened was the king of Israel had got so upset that he wanted to block it off so they couldn't get down there. Well, this made Asa mad. So what does Asa do? Instead of consulting to God, instead of going to God to pray, he goes to the king of Assyria and he bribes him to go and attack Israel. And God tells him, that ain't the way it should have been done. So what's God do? God sends his prophet to him again. And whenever the prophet comes to him, he tells Asa, that's not the way it should be done. Well, Asa doesn't want to hear, so he throws the man of God in prison. Then he starts to go after his own people. And one of the last verses of Scripture that it talks about, when it talks about Asa, it said over in verse 11, and behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, though they are written in the books of the kings of Judah and of Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but the physicians. And the physicians were all the healers and stuff that of these other countries. He didn't search God. He didn't want to have anything to do with God at this time. Now again, let me ask you, where did Asa end up at? I don't know. I'm not going to say I don't know. But for us to sit here and say, well, he ended up in heaven because you know what? Of the way he started out, that's not the way it is. You've got to finish this thing. You've got to finish it. No matter how old you are, no matter where you are in your life, praise God, listen to me. There's nowhere to give up. Nowhere to give up. And rather than consulting with God, he turned to other things. The king of Syria to bribe them. You know what? Guess what? Praise God, I want to tell you something right now. Listen to me. Now let's talk about Manasseh. And if you would with me, I want you to turn over to 2 Chronicles, 33rd chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. This man who did all these atrocities, listen down to it. Wherefore the Lord brought upon the captains of the host of the king of Syria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with feathers and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, guess what he did? He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father and prayed unto them. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication. And brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew the Lord, he was God. Man, isn't that awesome? I don't know where you're at here today. I don't know what happened on your life and where you're at and what path you've been down. But let me tell you something. You have probably never done the atrocities that Manasseh did. But praise God, at the end of his life, he realized that he was the true God. And he humbled himself. Listen, me and you, what a lesson that we could take from this. What a lesson that you and I can take from this. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you serve a God that is a God that is willing to forgive if you're willing to give it to him. No matter how many times we fail. no matter how many times we stumble. You know what? I am so thankful, and I praise God for that, for His goodness and for His mercy. And it goes on to say here, and he knew the Lord, he was his God. And now after this, he built a wall about the city of David on the west side of Gihon, and in the valley, even in the entering of the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods. Listen to this. And the idols out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altars of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Did you get that? You see the change that was made in this man's life? Because he finally realized that there was a true God to serve. I tell you, when I was reading this, I thought this was so awesome. So awesome that the God of all these things that this man had did, surely he would end up in the regions of the damned for all the things that he had done. But you know what? God had mercy on him because he humbled his heart and got himself right with God. I want to tell you today, isn't that the truth this morning to all of us? Isn't it something that we all can just grab a hold of and understand? I know how bad that I was. I know how bad that I was in my life, and how God reached down and I received Him into my heart, and He saved my soul. And I'm here to tell you this morning, praise God, that there is hope. There is hope no matter where you're at in your life. I'm here to say it again and again. You know what? He prayed. God responded to him. You know what? He was entreated. God listened to his prayers. I want to tell you something this morning. That if you're here this morning and lost, and like I said in Sunday school class, you know this morning if you're lost. I want you to know that. I don't care who you are sitting here this morning. If you look in your heart, you know whether or not you're saved or you're lost this morning. I don't have to tell you. No one has to. You don't have to come and ask me if you're saved or lost. If you have to come and ask me if you're lost or you're saved, you're lost. Amen? You know if you're saved or lost. But I'm telling you, if you're lost sitting here this morning, and you know what? The Lord is dealing with you. We're going to get a song here a little bit, and the altar is going to be open to you. And I'll tell you what, no better way than to come up here at this altar and kneel down and give your heart to Jesus Christ this morning. Give your heart. Let the Holy Spirit come flooding into your life. Let Him come and take control of your life. And I'm telling you what we've been talking about here this morning, about knowing. You know, I say this all the time, but there's an old boy over that I used to go to church with, and he used to say this. He said it's a no-so salvation. It is no so salvation. There is no if, what, you know, maybe, I don't know, you know. And I want to ask you something this morning. You know what? You've not done as bad as Manasseh has. But listen to me. Listen, you know, in human eyes. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You know what will keep you out of heaven one day? That's not believing in the Son of God. That's not accepting Jesus Christ into your heart. That's what keeps you out of heaven one of these days. And I'll tell you, if you were here this morning and God is dealing with you as they come and get a song, I'm asking you this morning. We got 1 week to go, and this is Palm Sunday, but we got 1 week to go till Easter. And next Easter morning, whenever we celebrate how our Lord and Savior come up out of that tomb, that you and I could have this opportunity to accept Him. And I'm here this morning to ask you. This altar is open. You know what? I'm not here again to preach to you about anything except Jesus Christ is here to save your soul this morning.